Philippians chapter 4 today. Look at verse number 6. The Word of God says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Thank you for standing and may be seated. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 6. That phrase that's been with me really all week as I've been preparing for this Sunday services. The phrase, "with thanksgiving." And I want you to understand that and leave here and have that in your heart and mind. With thanksgiving. Whatever you do, specifically some things today, do it with thanksgiving and see what God does. With thanksgiving. Now this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Now if you have everything else without Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving, you miss the whole thing. So this Thursday, do whatever you're going to do with thanksgiving and see what God does in your heart and in your life. When you think about Thanksgiving, what comes first to your mind? Now be honest. Probably food, all right? I'm just going to be frank with you there, okay? Maybe turkey came to your mind. Maybe some stuffing. A corn. Cranberry sauce. Sweet potato pie. Mashed potatoes. Yeast rolls. It's getting spiritual up in here, all right? Somebody felt the move of the spirit. That was just your stomach, all right? But maybe not food. Maybe you thought of family. Spending time together, or those that have passed on, remembering them, and they thought of family. Some of y'all may have thought of football. I'm usually asleep by that time, so I don't have to usually watch it, but Thanksgiving, it involves food, of course. It involves family. It involves these different areas, maybe in football, but Thanksgiving, first and foremost, is a focus. You do whatever you do with thanksgiving and see what God does. I want you to notice here in the text, as you're looking at it, we're told to do it with thanksgiving. I'm reminded of this. I found out a few years ago that my last name, Shakur, means thankful. That's a lot to live up to, all right? You can call me Pastor Thankful if you want. Just don't call me Preacher Turkey Day or whatever. But, that's a lot to live up to. And really, as Christians, we are to be thankful. That's all of our names. Thankful. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. You see, the Word of God tells us over and over again that we are to be thankful. We are to give thanks in all things. Not necessarily for all things, but in all things. In everything, give thanks. Listen to what the Word of God says, what to do with thanksgiving. Listen, Psalm 69, verse 30. "I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving." You know, it's possible to magnify him, but understand when you do it with thanksgiving, you're really magnifying the Lord. Notice in the text, Psalm 95, verse 2, "Let us come before his presence." Now, you can come before his presence at any time with anything, but the Bible says, do it with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 100, verse number 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." Step into the house of God. Step into the presence of God with thanksgiving and see what God does. And the Bible says, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Psalm 147, verse 7, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving." Start singing to the Lord with a thankful heart. Start thanking him and thinking about it during the song service, but thinking and praising the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon a harp unto our God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. "We are to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught." So our discipleship is done with thanksgiving, abounding therein, rooted and grounded with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer. We're going to see that in just a moment. This is the focus today. Continuing in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 speaks of the food that we eat. God created meats to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now here, Apostle Paul is writing the church at Philippi. Paul is under house arrest. He is in a place where he is awaiting the appearance before Caesar to share the gospel. He is in bonds by choice. He has purposed this entire missionary journey to have an opportunity to give the gospel to the highest ruler in the world at that point. And here he is waiting the trial, waiting the time where he would preach the gospel. And it's a time of difficulty. It's a time of uncertainty. And he says here from someone with experience, say, listen, don't be careful. Don't be filled with care. I love the word careful because it communicates being filled with care. You understand that word filled with care. Careful is filling your mind with your worries. And here's what you don't have to do. Don't fill your mind. Don't fill your mouth with worries. Fill it with praise. Fill it with thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing. Don't fill it with all the things that are going to bring about anxiety. Don't be pulled in different directions. The word literally means to be pulled in different directions. When you're pulled in different directions, in comes fear. In comes worry. In comes anxiety. You've got to be focused on God. Or you're going to fall. You're going to fall apart. Here's what happens. Our faith pulls us in one direction. Our fear pulls us in the opposite direction. And then right in the middle, we're filled with all this anxiety and fear and worry. And we worry. You know, the word worry comes from the old English word to strangle. If anybody has anything to worry about, it would be the Apostle Paul. The anxiety of standing before Caesar, facing his possible execution. He thinks back here, the people of Philippi, he's just heard news that they're disagreeing with one another. Much of his book is really addressing two women that couldn't get along in the house of God. That would never happen here, would it? He addresses even what's going on in Jerusalem and everything that's happening. And he's heard about division even in Jerusalem. And he's writing to this and he's facing all this. And he says, hey, be careful for nothing. Hey, if you think about it, you could probably find something to be worried about. If you think about it, if you get pulled apart from the news of this world, or the concerns of this world, the cares of the world, the Bible says that the word of God is sown, but then the cares of the world choke up the word. And it doesn't take long to get filled with worry and cares and concerns of this life. That's when we need to turn it around and have a thanksgiving. That doesn't necessarily involve food or football or family, but it does involve a focus. It's a focus to set your mind on things above, to think on these things. Here's how to have thanksgiving. First, look up. Look up and pray with thanksgiving. Look up and praise with thanksgiving. Hey, listen, the Word of God says, with thanksgiving, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, that's generally speaking to the Lord, and supplication, that's asking things of the Lord, with thanksgiving. So if you're praying to God, thank Him. If you're asking things from God, thank Him. And it's not just thanking Him for what He's already done. You're going to thank Him for what He's going to do. Thank Him for how He's answered your prayer, because He's heard it. Thank Him in faith for what He's going to do with that prayer. Listen, you're to thank Him with thanksgiving. I'm telling you, when you start praying, our theme this year is pray, with thanksgiving, watch what God does. You know, my kids like to ask me for a lot, all right? They ask for things. You know, whenever they come to me and they say, give, 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 and they don't have a spirit about them of gratitude, they get a lot less. Now, he's listening here. He's going to listen to The Secret this morning. But if they come, and they come to me and say, thank you, Daddy, for this and for that, and they've already thankful for what I've given them, and then they ask, and they say, whatever you do, Dad, it's okay, and ask for it, and then thank you. I'm telling you, they're going to get a lot more. Now, we're not necessarily taking that to turn against some sort of selfish ambition, because we're not to consume it upon our own lust. But God wants us to take His word. God wants us to apply His will and thank Him for what He's already said. You understand that we are to pray with thanksgiving. When's the last time you started thanking the Lord as you were praying? I'm telling you, the focus gets off you and the focus gets on what God can do. Hey, if you're going to worry about it, don't pray. But if you're going to pray, don't worry. It's about time that when we get caught up in the things of this world, and we will, and we do, we need to turn the care, be careful for nothing, turn the care into prayer. And when you turn the care into prayer, God's peace begins to move in. You see, Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I will lift mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. It's saying, Lord, I cannot do this, but Lord, you can. I can't answer this, but Lord, you can and you will. And thank you, God, for already answering it and doing it. Psalm 50 verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Hey, listen, the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, I may not want. He's not saying, please don't let me want. He doesn't say, the Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, I thank you in the past that I have not wanted before. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible says he will provide all of our needs. By the way, not all of your greeds. Don't go walk into a lottery store and claim it and name it and walk into it and say, thank you, Jesus, for the winning lottery numbers. That's not going to happen. But listen, God's not going to provide your greeds, but he'll provide your needs. He'll provide what he's already said he'll provide in his word. Joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. He'll provide and work these things in your life because he's promised them. And it's thanking him. You know, the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, the day started with a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The day ended with a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise. Hey, how about every morning we wake up and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for another day to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for making me whole. Thank you for the blessings that you've already given. Thank you for the blessings that you are doing in my life right now. Thank you for the blessings that you're going to do. And before you go to bed at night, watch what happens when you start thanking the Lord before you go to sleep. Instead of falling asleep through the 19th episode of Netflix or whatever it is, or falling asleep with something happening and some kind of concern on the news network. That's going to fill your mind with the things of this world and the cares of this world. Instead, take the word of God and the will of God and look back at what God has done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Yeah. And before you go to sleep, you just start thanking the Lord for what God has done. Praising him for every blessing. James 1 verse 7 says, every good and perfect gift. Look up. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Sound familiar? Are we saying that in our hymn today? This is what James is telling us. Pastor James is reminding his people that the Father who created the stars of the sky, the God of heaven who loves all of his children, he's unchanging. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. Just as the earth rotates around the sun and turns in such a way, and part of the earth doesn't face the sun. Hey, listen, the shadow that's cast upon the earth, that night shower, but the sun hasn't changed. The sun is still full of light and full of power. It's the earth that moves and changes. What's that telling us? God is constant. God is sure. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. We're the ones that change. We're the ones that turn. We're the ones that walk away from his blessing. We're the ones that miss out on the light of the glory of God in our life. Hey, if there's a shadow in your life, if there's a darkness in your life, it's because you're filled with care and worry and sin. Listen, it's because you've been turning in your life. Turn back to the Lord in thanksgiving. Turn to the Lord. You know what happens? Romans chapter 1 reveals this. Here's what can happen. If you don't turn to the Lord in thanksgiving, and you turn to your care, and turn to your worry, and turn to your sin, or whatever it may be, here's what will happen in your life. Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that when they may be known of God, manifest in them, God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What's that telling us? Everything we see is a blessing from God. All of God's creation. When's the last time you thanked him for the trees? When's the last time you thanked him for the grass? When's the last time you thanked him for the sky? All of that is God. When you stop thanking God for it, here's what happens. Verse 21. Because that, when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Hey, I believe we need to keep facing the sun, S-O-N, and keep turning our minds and our hearts and towards Him, because there's no shadow of turning in Him. He's always good. He's always blessing. I don't want my foolish heart darkened through unthankfulness and ungratitude. Because what can happen, something I've seen this happen in many agnostics and so-called atheists, something bad will come in their life or something's going on in this world, and they get so focused on what's going wrong and so focused on all these areas, and they think, how can God be good when this is going on? When God is still good. But if we turn our backs upon a good God, who's working out all things according to the counsel of His own will, and we choose worry, and we choose anxiety, and we choose fear over thankfulness, we turn from God. That's where backsliding starts. And our foolish heart becomes darkened. And no longer does our heart glow with the light of the glory of His grace. There's no shadow of turning in God. He's always good. I wish I could explain it better. But I'm telling you, it can only take a day or two of being unthankful because your heart gets darkened. The heart is the center of the mind and the emotion and the will. It's where you make your decisions. It's command central. And you start making decisions that step into areas of darkness and all these areas of depression and discouragement, because all God wants you to do is turn to Him and look upon His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Look up. Look up. Praise the Lord with thanksgiving. Pray to Him in thanksgiving. Oh, it's all throughout Scripture. And then now look in. So look up, see what God has done around us. Thank Him for it. Look in. Look at verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, when you're thankful, your heart, command central, your mind, that's where your thought process is. Your heart and your mind. I can't even fully explain this, but it's all of you. Your thoughts, your emotions, your will. When it's focused on Jesus and focused on His Word, something supernatural happens. And it's the peace of God. The peace of God. Hey, what's this world trying to do? They try to drink down peace and there's only more pain. They try to have entertainment for peace and there's just a little momentary relapse. They try to enter relationships for peace and there's some sort of conflict. But when you get your eyes and your heart upon Jesus Christ and your mind on Jesus, you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. Be thankful for that. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It's connected. You say, well, I don't have any peace. It lets me know this. You don't have any thanksgiving in your life. If you choose thankfulness and you turn, look up, you'll then look in and say, wow, God did a work. I'm telling you, you can take this out of here and put it to shoe leather this afternoon. Something's going to come up. Some situation is going to get your attention off Jesus. And if you choose to look away from the Lord, you're not going to have the peace that passes all understanding. But if you look to the Lord in prayer and praise, you can look in and say, wow, God did something. Hey, listen, I like what Warren Wiersbe was saying in his commentary. He said, what was the difference between Daniel in the lion's den and Darius in the palace? Darius couldn't sleep all night in the palace, tossing and turning. Daniel, in the lion's den, fell asleep. How can you fall asleep surrounded by the lions of this world? Oh, it's a peace that passes all understanding. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. I'm telling you, say, Pastor, how can we have a Thanksgiving after the year we're going through? After what we had last year, after the economy? You look at the gas prices recently. I'm the first one to complain about that. I understand. But there's always Harris Teeter to thank God for. Hallelujah. I filled up the other day a dollar less. And I'm like, I still feel like we're in the last administration. No, but, you know, and I thought about it. I'm like, all right, I get so burnt up about 20 bucks extra on gas. There's things I waste 20 bucks on. Some of y'all spend that on Starbucks on the way to church this morning. And talking this or that and getting worried about at the most 20 extra bucks in gas. So, yeah, do you remember 2004? The prices were up then too. I remember filling up when I first got that car and $3-4 a gallon. I lived in New York. I still think it's always that way up there and all the taxes on it. But listen, you can get all depressed and stressed at the gas station or you can thank God anyhow. I can pull away from a gas station concerned, tweeting and posting and complaining, and or I can just go, it's just a little bit of gas. Come on now. Not that big of a deal. We make everything so big when our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. I'm telling you, let's get our focus on the Lord. Let's get our heart upon the Lord. He's the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. Thermometers go up and down depending on the barometric pressure and atmospheric condition. A thermostat, and any brother Noel up here, I know he's sick today, but a thermostat controls what's going on. It can be 44 degrees on the outside, but 75, 80 for my parents, 92 in their house. On the inside, because you're controlling the temperature. You listen today, we've got a thermostat on the inside called the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be a thermometer just putting the weather stick up. What is it? Oh, it's cold outside. How about you turn up the heat on the inside and start thanking the Lord and praising the Lord and watch what God does and how warm it gets in the Spirit. Hey, we've got the Spirit of God. Everything can be crumbling around us. It can be cold. It can be discouraging. It can be dark and difficult. But I've got someone on the inside that's turning up the heat. Or in my case, turn the AC on. Hallelujah. I've got so much to thank Him for. I'm telling you. Safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. The peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of pain. It's not the absence of problem. But it's the confidence that He is there with you always. That's why He could fall asleep on the boat. And the disciples were worried. There was a storm outside. But as long as Jesus is in the center of your vessel, you're going to make it to the other side. Jesus said in John 14:27, this is not what the world comprehends. The world walks around with a thermometer. Hey, how do I feel today? What should I do today? Hey, listen, the Bible says that the peace that I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what Jesus said. Duke University did a study on peace of mind. And I'll leave out any Duke jokes there. All right. Factors found to contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability were as follows. Number one, the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. Number two, not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures lead to depression. Number three, not wasting time or energy fighting conditions you cannot change. It's cooperating with life instead of trying to run away from it. Number four, forcing yourself to stay involved with the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during moments of emotional stress. Number five, refusing to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accepting the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow or misfortune. Number six, cultivating the old-fashioned virtues, love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. Number seven, not expecting much of yourself. When there's too wide of a gap between your expectation and your ability to meet the goals you've set, your feelings or inadequacy are inevitable. Number eight, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test for measuring happiness. Say, what's that just simply saying? That's just science, studying people out and understanding the people that have God to believe in, the people that have Jesus to trust, the people that serve others and not themselves, the people that don't look at the problems and the difficulties and gripe and moan and complain about it, but turn their eyes upon Jesus and thank the Lord and praise the Lord. Those are the happiest people in this world. And you know it's true. You know, but you got to turn. You got to thank Him. You got to turn away from the darkness and turn to the light of the glory of the grace of God. Number two, look in, see what God does. And then when you choose thanksgiving and God does a work of peace in your life, now look out. There's more to look at. Look at verse number eight. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Look at the word think. Do you know the word think is the root word for thank? Thanksgiving starts with thinking right. Thoughtful people are thankful people. And if you think about it, you'll thank the Lord for it. Now, I know this verse, and I've shared this before quite personally, because as a kid, I got caught up in all the mysteries and things going on. I read all the Hardy Boys. Everything to me was like murder and mysteries. And then I read all the Nancy Drew series, and they were about the same too. And so everything around me, I was kind of always looking for the problems. I read the paper, and hey, I said, hey, there's a murder today. You know, I'm like, that's interesting. I'll talk to my dad about it. And I'll go out to my dad, and he'll go, you need to stop talking about all these negative stuff. Stop talking about all the things happening and the crime and all this going on. And I understand there are people that work in that, and they need to get away from that. And they have sometimes PTSD because of it. They don't think about it for fun. All right. And so I was just focused on all these negativities. My dad said, hey, you're going to memorize before you go any further. You're going to memorize Philippians 4, verse 8. I'm like, is it as easy as Jesus wept? I got that. And he said, it's one of the longest verses I've ever seen. He said, you're going to get it down right. And he went, and I would start talking. You could ask him, this happened many times. I would start talking about the problems or the difficulties. And I'm a little bit of a, I can get a little melancholy by disposition. And I'm a little bit all over the place. I've got kind of a sanguine melancholy, all this stuff. But, I would get on down. And I would start talking about this. My dad's like, Philippians 4, 8, what is it? Finally, brethren, what's for things are true. I think he wrote it out and put it by my bed. Hey, some of y'all need to wake up in the morning of Philippians 4, verse 8. Put it somewhere. What sort of things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report? That means thanksgiving. Praise, virtue. Think on these things. That's thanksgiving. Think upon the things. How do you have thanksgiving? You stop counting your bruises and you start counting your blessings. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians chapter 5 says that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be singing unto the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And the second evidence of being filled with the Spirit isn't running around, isn't falling down, but giving thanks always to God for all things. That's the supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. To get people to thank the Lord in all things. How can we do that? Well, we don't know God's perspective. His ways are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. A day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years. God's already in your tomorrow. God knows what's going on. He only does that which is good, and it will for your good and for your glory if you love Him and call according to His purpose. And so there's no reason to stress. We can thank God anyhow. And when you do it with thanksgiving, when you look out with thanksgiving, I'm telling you, a buzzard looks for something dead. He'll find something dead if you're flying around looking for something dead. You know, other animals look for life. Let me tell you, are you looking for something dead or are you looking for something alive? It's a choice. It's a choice. In the town of Enterprise, Alabama, there's a monument in the middle of the town square. I would think Alabama, the monument would be of a general or a world leader. But the monument in Enterprise, Alabama is to a boll weevil. Let's take a closer look at it. A boll weevil. There's a woman holding up a boll weevil. That's Alabama for you. A boll weevil is an animal or an insect. I don't even know. You know, cotton workers know what I'm talking about? Insect, all right. That destroys what? Cotton, right? 1915, boll weevils destroyed the livelihood of Enterprise, Alabama. But because of that difficulty, they learned through the importance of diversified farming. They learned to plant peanuts and corn and other crops. And because of that, they survived the Great Depression. Because they weren't living off the cotton fields. They were planting something they could eat. And so, during the Great Depression, you know what they did? They built a monument to the boll weevil to remind them that their perspective isn't always perfect. And they don't know what's going on. And what may be happening to them may just be the very best thing that's going on. Some of us need to think about the boll weevils in our life right now. Some of us need to thank the Lord for the boll weevils in the past and praise the Lord that that difficulty that came in and that relationship or that situation that happened, yes, it was bad. There's no changing that. We don't give thanks to God for all things, but in all things, because something was being worked out for your good. Some of y'all need to get a boll weevil blessing list, all right? What are your boll weevils? Right now, you say, well, I don't know what's going on. Maybe God's preparing you and protecting you for something in the future. God's just that good and that big to take a boll weevil and save an entire town and city. And God's big enough to take a boll weevil and more in your life. That's how good God is with thanksgiving. Look up, look in, look out, look on, look to the future. Verse number 8, verse 9. Those things which you've heard and learned and received and seen in me do, in the God of peace shall be with you. Oh, you just thank Him and praise Him. Paul's in house arrest. He's awaiting his sure sentence of execution. He's thinking about his problems, but he's thanking the Lord anyhow. Verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned both how to be abased and how to be a tenor. No, how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you take verse 13 out of context and say I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me, but don't understand the context is you not turning from the light of the glory of His grace and the goodness of God and turning to darkness, but instead turning to the Lord and thanking Him and praising Him anyhow and walking in peace on the inside, looking on the outside, thanking Him for these things, thanking Him for the good and thanking Him for what's going on and thanking Him for what's He going to do. Then and only then can you declare, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. It requires you to turn from the problems and turn to the person. And get in the presence of God, and through His power, you can do all things, because He's the one that's strengthening you. Hallelujah. Do you understand today, no matter what you're going through, He's the answer. Jesus is all you need. Hey, when you're hungry, He's the bread of life. When you're thirsty, He's the living water. When you don't know your way, He's the way. When you don't know what's right or wrong, He's the truth. When you're without life, He is the life. I'm glad today He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the rock of my salvation. He's my only sure foundation. He's a faithful friend who will not change. He's the cornerstone that remains. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I've got so much to thank Him for. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You may be down to your last dollar. Jehovah Jireh will provide. You may not know what to stand for, what to do. Jehovah Nissi is your banner. You may be sick. You have a doctor's report. Jehovah Rapha is your healer. You may have no peace, but there's Jehovah Shalom, your peace. You may not feel like you have any help, but there's Jehovah Shammah, your present help. You may be struggling with a sin. There's Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctifier. You may think, I can't have any sort of righteousness or forgiveness. There's Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord is your righteousness, because the gospel declares that Jesus Christ took our sin, went to an old rugged cross, suffered, bled, and died. He endured the separation from the Father, endured the wrath that I deserve. He was buried, and He rose again on the third day, and is ascended today at the right hand of the throne of majesty, making intercession for you. Jesus is praying for you. Hey, how can you pray with thanksgiving? Because Jesus is praying for you. Thank you, Lord. If you don't know what to say, say thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're interceding for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're my advocate. Thank you, Holy Ghost, you make intercession for me with groanings which I can't even be uttered. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I tell you, turn from that depression and that discouragement and that darkness, and you turn to the light of the glory of God, you're going to get a peace that floods your soul. Say, preacher, I don't know about all that. I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do. How's it working out for you? Aren't you tired of being sick and tired? Aren't you tired? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus says, and I'll give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. If He saved you, thank Him. If He's opened doors for you, thank Him. If he's been good to you, thank him. If things are going bad in your life, thank him. Psalm 31, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many today will say, I'll bless the Lord, I'll thank the Lord, I'll praise the Lord. I'll tell God thank you. I'll worship him. I'll lift him up. I'll magnify him. If he doesn't answer another prayer, if he doesn't open the door, if he doesn't make him the way, I still have so much to thank him for. I like this one. Got me one year. I saw this. What if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today? Oh, thank him. What's some takeaways here today? Number one, regularly practice giving thanks. Make it a habit. Number two, give thanks regardless of what's going on. And I'll put these online later in case you're taking notes. Number three, thank the Lord when everything's going good. Number four, learn to see how bad experiences can produce good outcomes. Number five, make Thanksgiving a part of your interactions with people. You know, to appreciate means to raise in value. You go to somebody and appreciate them. Say thank you. Thank you for what they've done. Make it a regular practice to say thank you and live in Thanksgiving. Lean into the strength that Thanksgiving provides. Time magazine had an article about Thanksgiving. Those that choose Thanksgiving, number one, will be more patient, will have improved relationships, will improve their self-care, will sleep more, will be able to sleep. They're actually, this is interesting. I think this is a little ironic. Thanksgiving will stop you from overeating. That's ironic, isn't it? Thursday is Thanksgiving food. Thanksgiving will ease your depression. Thanksgiving gives you a happiness that lasts. First American Thanksgiving didn't occur in 1621 when pilgrims shared a feast with Indians. The first recorded Thanksgiving happened in Virginia almost 11 years earlier, and it wasn't a feast. 1610, and Jamestown had been reduced to a group of 409 settlers from down to 60. The survivors chose to thank the Lord and praise the Lord anyhow. And they thanked the Lord and they prayed. They had a Thanksgiving service when they had nothing. And as they were thanking the Lord, the story comes that a form of a ship filled with food and supplies came from England, and that further prompted their praise. And maybe today you're in a time of difficulty, a time of famine, a time of darkness. You just thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now tonight we're going to talk about the Plymouth Rock Thanksgiving, what God has done. But listen, some of y'all need a Jamestown Thanksgiving today. It's dark, difficult, got a bad doctor's report, but God is still good. God is on the throne. And when you turn to him and thank him, you're going to sense a peace that passes all understanding. And you're going to walk in the grace and goodness of God, thanking him, thinking about these things, turning your back on the world, turning it towards Jesus, following him. And then you're going to be able to do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That ship is on the way. Thank him for it. Praise him for it. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's doing. And thank him for what he's going to do. You practice Thanksgiving. You do whatever you do with Thanksgiving and see what God does.